shy little Uber, liver, liver, leap.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill, here with my friend and fellow gardener, Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply. Good evening, Jer.
Hi, Jill.
Hello to all the worms out there.
Yeah.
And the worms that are underground right now and listening, cuddled up in their little pajamas, their footy pajamas.
Yeah, they're still pretty active.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that. 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. And, of course, emails at worm.org. We had an email, like, after the show last week from Marilyn, who asked about apples in the compost. And Lance said, some of the best compost material you can do, apples.
Yeah.
You agree?
It's pretty decent. It's pretty decent. Sometimes you can have salt issues. Just depends on where the apples were grown and if they got a fair amount of salt in the processing. But, you know, I know several people have picked up the mash from, like, Delicious Orchards afterwards, and then they compost it and work it in there. And that's – it makes pretty good compost. It's fairly acidic, which is helpful.
Okay.
You know, so.
So it's thinking about what's in that,
yeah,
what the ingredients are and how that's going to break down. Okay, Marilyn, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. And we're ready to talk about whatever.
Yeah, give us a call. It's dry out there.
Super dry. And like Jeff just reminded me, we're almost to solstice, which it doesn't even feel like it because it's so warm and sunny out there.
I mean, technically, winter doesn't start for about another week, you know, but this is a little, I don't know, I'm starting to get nervous.
Yeah, real nervous.
We need to start packing some snow up there.
Yeah, we need storm cycles like bang, 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 hit us. And so what would you recommend? Because, you know, normally we're not watering at this time of the year. But
no, but you know, if you've got trees that are, you know, younger than 10 years old or, you know, less than 6 inches in caliper, for sure, they probably need water right now, even though they're dormant. You know, they need some water stores down there. So they're getting pretty dry. If you want good bud set breaking, I'm sorry, good bud, they have bud set now. If you want good bud break in the spring, keep watering them while it's this dry. So,
and is that the finger in the ground trick to tell whether or not, or is this kind of a different time of year, different soil?
No, this is just water them pretty good.
Water them pretty good. Soak them up. Huh?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? I mean,
you know, if you can put the hose on those for an hour, put the hose on them for an hour.
Okay, you know? Really? That much? Yeah. So soak your trees. Sometimes it's easy to remember about just little plants and shrubs, but sometimes those trees, we
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's dry and it's been warm, and the warm doesn't help with the drying out. I still have blackberries out there that have full-blown green leaves still in photosynthesis. It's nuts, you know.
And so what is that? Because what about the day length? I mean, one thing is the temperature and the freezing, but the day length and that coinciding.
Yeah, they're not, you know, they're not a what we call a photo period determinant plant.
Okay.
So that's not as big of a deal as photo period determinant plants are. But I mean,
but
they
the
are
fact
still,
that they...
yeah, they're still out there kicking. I mean,
right.
I watered them up until just about, you know, what, a month ago maybe. And so we kept watering them as long as we could. But then it started getting cold. We had to shut down the irrigation.
Yeah. Is the ground frozen out there, Jer? What about your
place? Not really. You know, some spots in the shade, permanent shade, it's pretty cold and frozen, but not really if the sun hits it.
Right. 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. You mentioned a couple weeks ago that you were going to plant your bulbs.
Yes, and it's been too warm and dry. if I got them out there, I don't want them to sprout right now. You know, I don't want them to start growing right now. I want to keep them dormant.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching the weather, and if I if I can see where we're going to get some rain, you know, I'll get them right out there in the ground before then. But I don't want them to start growing.
So you're looking for moisture and for colder temperatures?
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're kind of be tricking them mm-hmm. if you put them out there now.
Yeah.
Who knows what would happen in the spring. So what do? You have them cold stored?
Yeah, they're in the walk-in cooler, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's like your daffodils, your
yeah,
tulips.
Yeah, tulips, daffodils, crocus, alliums, all that kind of stuff. Those are your fall bulbs, you know.
Yeah, and so there's...
Hyacinths.
Is there any reason to wait until spring to plant them? Or no?
No.
Go ahead and try to get them in.
Yeah, I mean, you could still get them in right now, you know. So
something's going to happen here sooner or later.
I mean, it will rain again. It might snow. I don't know.
Sure.
We didn't
hope
get much.
So.
I mean, my farm's at the base of Lamborn Mountain.
Yeah.
At 6,200 feet. And last winter, we didn't get much snow. We got a lot of rain. But the snow stayed at about 7,000 feet and above, you know.
Right.
So.
And trying to think of that last year because it was sort of similar, pretty dry up till around Thanksgiving-ish.
It was, yeah.
But then on this side of the mountain, you know, Blue Mesa filled up.
Yeah, we got...
So there's still time.
We got pretty good winter last year, even though it was weird.
Yeah.
So...
And here's to all the skiers. May it snow.
Yeah, no doubt. Hopefully it will snow.
527-486-8166, KVNF now. All right, bulbs not in the ground, so you can still do work. And
yeah, it's great that you can work. And I mean, I delivered like 3 loads of compost this last week.
Oh, wow, people still...
Yeah.
Are they... putting that on beds and things, or
yeah,
are they just
people getting
cook,
ready.
Or?
For, yeah, people uh-huh. getting ready for spring. It's, you know, you can put down your compost, your rock dust, your bone meals, your really slow release stuff in the winter.
Right. You talked about that a few weeks ago.
So we don't want to probably put anything too soluble or too full of nitrogen out there. Just leach out if we do get a lot of rain mm-hmm. or wet snow this winter. So.
So these people will just be ready for spring. Mm-hmm. That'll be all cooked up, ready to go.
Yes, ma'am.
What about the worms? Not Lance and Lulu. Or Jer Bear.
The worms are, you know, I was out there. So we mulch the berries with compost. And what we do is we lay down cardboard and then put the compost on top. This helps with weed block. And it also makes the worms come up, and they like to chow on that cardboard. And then they get through the cardboard, and then they start bringing the compost down into the soil.
Wow.
And so I pulled up a piece of cardboard the other day, and, you know, there's active worms under there. So
they're feeling the sunshine.
Yeah, they have not gone down and gone to bed yet, that's for sure.
Well, keep on working.
I heard there was a bear.
Ooh,
didn't recently, hear. Up on the mesa that, or maybe it was even down in town here, but
oh wow,
there was a bear that isn't hibernating yet.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That would seem like you'd see that up by your place. Mm-hmm. You really have got a lot of wildlife up there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's really weird. The deer are just finishing the rut, which the rut is, you know, whenever they breed.
Right.
Okay. And that used to be in September when I moved here. Then it was in October. Then it was in November. And now it's all the way into the end of November.
Wow.
They're going to have to change hunting season. Literally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And that's kind of a short time period. I mean, it's not like it's over decades.
No, that was happened. Over a decade. One decade uh-huh. I've seen that happen.
Wow.
So the weather is definitely changing. Plants and animals are... trying to adapt, but we need to, you know, keep that in mind as gardeners that things are changing.
Right. And what worked last year might not work
That's right.
this year.
That's right. Colorado can be a really tough place to garden, you know.
Yeah.
I get some people coming into the store that are new from, you know, places like California or Florida,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, where stuff just, you know, you can't keep it from growing.
Right. So, succulent and moisture.
Yeah. And they really are kind of, you know, flabbergasted at first. I'm like, nah, it's not that hard. You just got to do some things differently.
Right. So. Kind of trial and error, a mm-hmm. lot of it, because you think you can grow something and you can't. And then the craziest things that you think you wouldn't be able to grow
right.
do grow here.
Right.
Like almond trees. I just think, yeah, that, I just think that's crazy.
That's true. Wind does a good job with those.
He does do a good job. Yeah. Wind will be coming in a couple weeks, sit around with you and
right
banter.
Right on. We never do that.
Nope. We had to get something done tonight. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Maybe people are out there stirring their pots of stew, Jer, and they can't get to the phone.
That's right. Give us a call. Give us a garden question.
A garden question.
We've actually been kind of busy here lately.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because you're delivering compost, mm-hmm. and with this warm weather, people just still going at it.
Yeah, for sure. And then
what are you seeing? What kind of activity?
A lot of people coming in and getting seeds, too, to grow like some greens maybe in a cold frame or whatever.
Great.
And then, you know, a lot of people are starting, a lot of hemp growers are starting seeds right now. And cannabis growers, for that matter, but
mm-hmm.
they're starting seeds right now so that they can, you know, have their mothers ready by spring, and they can really look at the phenotypes and deduct what they're going to take clones off of. So it's almost a year-round gig whenever you're doing that.
Yeah, that was almost like 1 month
right.
off kind yeah. of thing. And so that same thing of looking for the females happens in hemp. I'm not at all hemp savvy.
Ideally, when people are growing for CBD oil,
okay,
yes, you want to grow it more like cannabis
mm-hmm.
and get rid of the males. If you were growing for seed, you would obviously keep some males. But even that, you want to be more selective, you know. So
right.
a lot of
right.
people will separate their males, grow them, get the pollen, you know, be more selective about how they breed if you're really on top of your game and you're really trying to get some nice seed out. People that are growing hemp for seed and fiber, like, there's not a lot going to go on with that, you know.
And to do that, you have to pretty much separate those plants, don't you? Have to put those males in a...
Yes and no. I mean, you can grow them next to each other. That is a photoperiod determinant plant.
Oh, okay.
So when you cut back the light, then they'll flower.
Right.
Okay. So if you keep them under, you know, 17, 18 hours of light, you can grow them right next to each other
right.
without an issue.
And then you're going to maybe separate them
mm-hmm.
at the point of flowering.
Mm-hmm.
And about how long does it take from seed to determine that a plant is female and that you want to clone that? How much
time?
Depend on the variety
it
or
does,
the strain?
It does. It varies from strain to strain quite a bit. Some of them can be pretty long, you know, and sexing them is definitely a big part of the process. They now have a genetic marker test where you can pop the seed. And when it starts getting like its first to second set of true leaves,
uh-huh.
you take if the cotyledons are still attached, you take one of those and you send it in for a genetic marker, and they can tell you right then if it's a male or a female.
Really?
Yeah.
So you take the cotywalker?
Cotyledons.
And you send that into this company that does
yeah,
genetic markers.
That's right.
And how long does that take? I mean, you're still just keep your plant growing, and then they'll come back and say plant number.
Yeah, just a few days.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried that before?
I haven't, but I know some people who have. It's pretty new technology.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's a lab in Oregon that does it. We're trying to get something going local so that we can offer that as a service.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because otherwise, let me give the phone numbers quickly, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Otherwise, without this genetic marker, what's that process for determining that plant is female?
Well, you got to let them grow out until they show their pistils.
Okay.
So.
And then you're looking at those leaves there and seeing how that's coming
the,
out.
The males will literally drop sacks, and the females will put out two like little pistils. They look like little hairs, like two legs, you know.
Right.
And so.
And is that photo period determined, or?
Yeah, you can push it by doing that, by cutting the photo period.
Mm-hmm. So you just kind of push it and then let it go back again?
Yeah, exactly. You would have to re-veg it and up the light or, you know. I'm not a big fan of putting them through that stress.
Right, yeah.
Stress can cause, you know, hermaphrodites, polymorphism, stuff like that.
Yeah, disease.
Yeah, it can weaken them to where they're more susceptible to disease and pests. That's
like
for sure.
Stress in a human is immunosuppressive.
It is.
For sure.
It is.
All right. 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. I like that. Yep. Okay. So, thinking about your cannabis seeds and getting that going and what you want to grow and
if you're going to end up taking clones and really isolate a strain and a phenotype, you know, you're pretty much starting right now.
Yeah.
So,
how many plants can we grow? How many plants can I grow in my yard this year?
Well, that depends on where you live. The state has passed a new law that frankly is unconstitutional, but they're saying 12 and I think 24 medical. The town of Paonia obviously can pass their own. The county of Delta apparently is working on one. They're really quite hostile, actually, and unconstitutional. Amendment 20 back in 2000 really put that decision on plant count between you and your doctor, where medical is concerned.
Right.
So we'll see how that shakes out. But it's looking like about 12 plants that start this year.
When you say hostile, do you mean that they're just trying to control it more than the original intention?
Yeah, I think so. That and, you know, I mean, it's just hypocritical and prejudice because you can grow more than 12 hop plants.
Right.
For beer, you know, you can grow more than 12 wine grapes plants, so, you know.
Right. I hear you. Hey, it is our friend Duna in Norwood on the line. Hi, Duna.
Hey, how are you doing, Jill?
Doing well. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, good.
What's going on in Norwood?
It's
you guys that
got
dry?
A lot of things dying.
Yeah.
Lack of water and all of that happy stuff, huh? Anyway, I just want to say it's a struggling time of year anyway to try and talk about the gardening, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to say I'm listening, and I'm sure we're all listening out there. And wanted to wish you joy for Christmas and Let's hope we get some kind of moisture.
Yeah, are you guys that dry over there too?
Oh golly!
Yeah,
my lilacs, my peach tree. I'm not sure about next summer.
Right.
Put a hose on it if you can. Huh?
Try to get some water on them if you can.
Yeah. We have to haul water, so it's kind of.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how far you haul it, but maybe next time you're haul one for the trees.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
thank you, Duna.
I'm out here listening to you and wish you joy.
Well, blessings, Duna. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Duna, our friend in Norwood.
Nice.
I mean, she's kind of the high elevation, a little bit probably like you.
Crawford, oddly enough, is higher than us.
Crawford is? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I know it doesn't seem like that when you drive over there, but
right.
It is.
Yeah, so Norwood, maybe 7,200. I don't know.
I think they're right around there.
Yeah. And it's dry there anyway, you know, that high plateau. So, gosh, I can't remember the caller, the listener that was replanting all of those trees up there. I think he was actually on Horsefly Mesa replanting a bunch of lilacs up there. Maybe a little bit higher. Might have a little bit of snow. Hey, what are people doing?
She was right, you know, like it's, it's a good time to assess your gardens, to plan your gardens, you know.
There you go.
To visualize a beautiful garden in the spring.
Right,
that'll help. Visualize some rain and snow while you're at it. And then, you know, sharpen your tools, clean your tools, sharpen them up.
Yeah, that's good advice, definitely. What's your favorite tool?
Jeez.
Or do you just like them all? I'm seeing your shop.
I'm such a tool hound.
Tool ho.
Yeah. I'm a gear queer. So, I don't know. It's hard to beat a good shovel. You know, shovel can do a lot of things.
Have a shovel will travel.
A hatchet.
Hatchet's good. I have one of those Japanese, you know, garden things. It's like serrated. It's like a machete. It's like a digger. It's like everything.
Yep. That's a good tool. It's
and it has a holster.
Yep.
You always need a holster for a good tool. You do.
We have one. We sell one of those made by Fiskars. That's a knife on one side. Saw on one side.
Yeah.
It's a bulb planter. It's
busted,
you know, it's everything.
Yeah, you've got some good stuff up there.
Yeah.
It is like a candy shop.
Yeah. We're selling a few axes and wood handling equipment, you know, the log tongs and all that stuff. That's what you do in the winter is firewood.
Right. There you go.
It's a good time to sharpen those axes and sharpen your shovel. And
what about your pruners and that?
Pruners,
kind of sharpening that as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, also it's a good time if you don't have a good set of pruners and you want to manage your trees, coming right up here, once it does actually get cold and stay cold for a while and the trees go dormant, then you can prune them safely without, you know, risking spreading disease. I still like to have a spray bottle full of alcohol, and I spray my tool in between each cut.
Oh, in between each cut, just in general when you're pruning.
Yeah.
Not even like cutting fire blight or something, but just...
Yeah, just in general.
Just rubbing alcohol? Do you dilute that or...?
No, like we sell 99% up there, so that's almost an immediate sterilization. That stuff's really hard to find, too, so... It's really good for cleaning your tools up, getting the sap off, and all that too. So, you know, a clean, sharp tool is a safe tool, by the way, too.
There you go. So, absolutely.
You know, you start hacking on something with a dull blade, next thing you know, it's going to chop your hand off.
Yeah, so. We've all tried that before. So, not to do it again.
No, I'm pretty anal about keeping my tools.
Okay, so I'm looking at my trees right now, and I'm kind of seeing where they need to be pruned. I sort of want to go after it. But like, say those little loppers, how do you actually sharpen those? Is it best to take those in somewhere, or can I do that myself?
No, we actually sell a little hand sharpener that is an amazing little tool. It's a carbide tip, and you can sharpen a knife, you can sharpen your loppers, you can sharpen... Your bypass pruners, you can sharpen your deadpan pruners.
You
can sharpen anything with them.
Kind of in all of those
your
odd
scissors.
Blade shaped things.
Exactly.
All right. All kinds of great
stuff. Come on up, Jill, and I'll,
I'll
give you a lesson.
Give me a shopping basket and come home with a bunch of tools.
I'll give you a lesson on how to sharpen your tool.
That sounds great. Yep. We could have a you know, Saturday afternoon tool sharpening thing
going on.
We got time for another call. 527-4868 1866 KVNF now.
Meow meow.
Meow meow. holidays coming up, and
the time to call is meow.
Right. That's right. Favorite tools. Okay, I'm looking at my list. You know what?
Christmas trees.
Christmas trees. Oh,
Christmas trees.
Great. What about Christmas trees?
Well,
I heard they were in short supply this year. Fresh Christmas trees.
They are in short supply.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And is that because?
Why was that? I was just reading about it. I think they were overplanted.
Oh.
And then abandoned, and then now they're a little underplanted, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about fresh trees here in Colorado, though? I mean, we've got places here on the Western Slope that you can...
Yeah, you can go get a permit from the Forest Service and go cut your own tree, and I would recommend that.
Right. That's fun.
You know, over... If you buy a store tree, there's a good chance it's been sprayed with a lot of preservatives and stuff.
There you go.
My mom had a horrible reaction years ago to the preservatives that were sprayed on a Christmas tree.
Goodness,
yeah, I worked at
gracious.
A Christmas tree lot every year whenever I was a teenager growing up. And so I know quite a bit about the trees. But one year my mom just had a horrible reaction. They never got a real tree again.
Wow.
And it turned out it was from the preservatives, you know, that
sure.
they were spraying them with. So what I was going to say is, you know, like you can, if you can figure out if that tree hasn't been sprayed with nasty preservatives and everything, that's really good to compost that stuff because out here,
right.
because the pines are acidic, you know. However, I wouldn't.
Don't necessarily compost your tree.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it if you didn't know.
Right.
But, you know, that's why I recommend going and cutting one out in the forest.
Wow, I just never even thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope your mom's feeling good. That's a beautiful Christmas tree. That's yeah. that's crazy.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, so think snow, fresh trees,
that's
water
right.
your trees.
Water your trees.
Water the stuff out
there. Water your perennials that, you know, they probably need some.
Yep.
And grass, you know, if you're a lawn person. You should probably be watering your grass.
Yeah, think about that stuff. It's parched out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
all right, Jared, great having you here and sharing your gardening expertise.
Thanks, Jill.
Good to see
you. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, and always a pleasure for Tara coming up with One Woman's Perspective next on KVNF.
All right, Tara.
Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Happy holidays.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.